the Blue Balls!
Welcome back to the Blue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Twitter, at BK Blue Guys, Almighty Baller Network, and of course, NetsDaily.com. Brian.
Michael, you did it.
We did it.
We did it. We did it.
We made it.
We did something. We did a thing.
We made it all the way to the trade deadline, and yeah, we are out the other side, and we're fine. Everyone's okay. Nets Nation is fine.
Yeah, man. We honestly, you know, I think everyone's feeling pretty positive about what went on today, no?
It's pretty funny, especially after the Bojan Bogdanović trade. And we're going to get all into it. I mean, this pod is going to go – we're going to go ankles deep, at least, into the trade deadline.
That is deep.
But – like NBA Twitter yesterday after the Bojan Bogdanović trade was like, yeah, you can already see Marks is a little bit the darling. Like the crew, like the crowd of NBA Twitter just wants Marks to do well. He's at that level at this moment.
Can I say something? I think you maybe missed an opportunity. This is just a personal thing between you and me. Don't let anyone like this is just for you and me.
Sure.
I think you let an opportunity pass you by because you might be the only person alive who is really, you know, studied and knows a lot about both the Nets and the Wizards. And I really didn't see your Twitter I mean you did tweet a fair bit, but I was hoping for that to break out to the more national stage. Also, I was hoping for that to break out to the what I assume you have another a dual life, and there's a Wizards crew that you're tweeting at and things like that.
That is maybe actually the case. Yeah, my Wizards friends were tweeting at my actual human account at Mike Smeltz on Twitter, and
they're like, "Give me the scoop." So, what do you tell? This is my favorite. What do you tell a Wizards fan who wants to know the deep deets on Bojan Bogdanović's game?
I don't know what you would say, but like so the other name that the Wizards were linked to was Lou Williams, and I'd rather have Bojan Bogdanović. I mean, I think, especially on a team that, you know, you have a good point guard and you already have good guards, and all you really need is sort of a guy to fill the gap. You know, Bojan makes a lot more sense than Lou Williams, who would, like, need the ball. So that trade was pretty successful for Los Nets, I would say. It satisfied sort of exactly what the Nets would want to do. You know, sort of all along, we'd been talking about Brook. Where's Brook going to go? How are they going to get first-round picks for Brook? And then when DeMarcus got traded, and they only got a first-round pick, and, of course, then Buddy Hield, of course, but it was looking like, oh, this is like Brook's value is really not going to be that high if DeMarcus Cousins only is getting this.
Did you hear that story about Vivek like whispering into Buddy Hield's ear courtside when they would play in Sacramento? Like, don't worry, you're going to be on our team. We're going to get you, buddy. We're going to get you.
It's so weird. I would like, I don't know. You know how like
his fascination with specific players, I really like. I admire that in a guy.
It's pretty much just guys who are supposed to be able to shoot that can't shoot. Like, yeah. Stauskas and Buddy Hield.
Exactly. Yeah. Sorry, what were you going to say before that?
No, and our President Trump, hates leaks. But, dude, the Kings are leaky, leaky, leaky. It's embarrassing the amount of stuff that comes out. But we still haven't found out what that, you know, when Vlade goes up and talks about DeMarcus Cousins. We don't know what the other trade was. How crazy is that this guy?
That's, you know what that is, and I mean, obviously, I think everyone, you know, can see through this. Is that that's the press conference you have when you're like, my boss made me do it. This is my boss made me do it. I think everyone knows my boss made me do it, but
and
I can't say that.
Pretty, I don't want to say dumb. Dumb's not correct. It's pretty not smart of Vlade to then try to do that, like, because he is directly calling out Vivek. I mean, that's what that was. That was him saying, we could have done something a lot better. I don't know. I mean, whatever. That's so old and done. Bojan.
Okay. Let's not talk about it.
Okay. So there's two major moves that the Nets did, I guess, as major as they could have been. And a third thing that they didn't do that was major, Brian. The Bojan deal, I think, is a huge win. Just totally from the Nets' perspective. First round pick. It's not going to be that good of a first round pick, but it's like there's a sense that this team, and Marks, I think, talked about it today in his little like press conference, that this team's going to look international. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps them that they have now two chances in the first round to just grab some seven. There's like 10 7-footers from Europe that are all can all shoot threes, and all of them apparently don't play in their pro league. So
does this mean, Mike, that
by the way,
can you hear that at all?
Yeah, I can hear that. For those who don't know, Brian is Skyping in on the podcast, and that's the best. That's our boards drop.
Pretty ham-fisted jerry-rigged situation here. But hey, we're doing it, man. Out of the back of the trunk, you know what I'm saying?
How you feeling about the Boyan trade? I mean, were you
well? I you know I my big interest is in Andrew Nicholson, obviously, and I mean, that's not obvious, but I am compelled to learn why the buzz died about Andrew Nicholson, because there was, correct me if I'm wrong, there was some buzz at some point about this guy.
No, yeah, he was like, and that's why the Wizards signed him, because he was supposed to be sort of this, he's 7'4 wingspan, who could shoot threes at one point.
I did what I normally do and just watch just intravenous YouTube clips all day of Andrew Nicholson. So for me, a couple things. I remember Andrew Nicholson personally from a summer league game that he played. I think it was his first summer league game when he was playing in Orlando, and it was against the Nets. It's the only reason I would have watched it. And he looked, I was like, wow, that's a guy. That's a guy that I wish we had.
Was his peak. That was his, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, it was like 2013 or something. It was a long time ago. But then having watched a lot of clips today, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're not expecting this to work out. Like, that's you're not seeing a future for Andrew Nicholson just in the NBA.
No. I disagree.
I'm wrong. Okay, that's good.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be great, but like, he has three more years left on his deal. He's going to the perfect situation where he's actually going to play. He didn't play in Washington. He's the type of guy that is going to have value at some point. He's only making $6.5 million a year. If he suddenly starts shooting 38% from three, that's a guy that's easily tradable.
Like, right. So this was my hot take, and you kind of ruined it. But I was going to say that the reason that you didn't like Andrew Nicholson's game is because, just based on the furious YouTubing I did today, that it reminds me a lot of Andre Blatch's game.
Disparage my boy.
Hitting the lane, herky jerking a little too long. It seems like it's going to go wrong, and then it suddenly goes right. And then like an occasional step back, you know, long two or three.
And I gotta
not Andre Blatch's game.
I gotta say, throughout all the Nets analysis that has been out there on the web for the trade deadline, very little Andrew Nicholson analysis. And because so. No one's. He's not going to change the fortune of this team, but he is the type of guy that could be, if he's reclamated in any way, could be worth something eventually to someone down the road. Probably not the Nets.
So you didn't like my Andre Blatch comparison? I'm pretty surprised by that, to be honest.
To be honest, Blatch is just so separated from reality to me.
Yeah.
Like Deron Williams, and we'll talk about this in News Around the League, but like. The fact that dude's going to get to go on the Cavs makes me so mad that he's going to get to leave Dallas after they helped him out. And now he's going to get to just ride for a championship on the Cavs. That makes me furious, Brian.
He'll sow the seeds of you know, dissent in the Cavs ranks like he does everywhere. Don't worry. It'll be bad. It'll go wrong.
The other move. And this is almost a more important move. So Boyan was, you get the first round pick for a guy that most people probably didn't think you would actually get a first round pick for, but they got him. Part of that was because they took on the Nicholson contract, but that's totally fine. It's what you do when you're that low in salary. KJ McDaniels, Brian. I think we all remember KJ McDaniels was darling of NBA Twitter maybe 3 years ago.
Just dunking on fools.
Everyone just loved him.
Furious dunks.
People were. Speaking of furious, people are furious that he got traded from the Sixers at one point for Isaiah Cannon in a second round pick. People were so mad. But here's the thing that it tells me, okay? There's sort of two class of GMs in this league. There's general big picture, like let's just get stars and we'll figure it out. And the whole roster, we only care about guys 1 through 7. The rest of the roster is not really that important. We don't care about D-League. We don't care about international. Basically the Phil Jacksons, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then, and I'm not saying Sean Marks has earned this just yet, because again, I'll bring up Yogi Ferrell. People don't want me to bring up Yogi Ferrell, but I'll bring up Yogi Ferrell. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Here we go.
But Marks' trade for KJ McDaniels is the other type of GM, which is, hey, we have 15 spots on this roster. We have room to grab other players who have potential. Why don't we do that? Even if we're bad, he actually added a player. They didn't do this to meet the salary floor. I mean, that actually doesn't really still, help them.
Still shy. 800 large.
Yeah. And so what's funny about that is I think, so if they had not gone to the salary floor, which they haven't, all that means is that the rest of that money gets dispersed out through the rest of the team. Mm-hmm. So like if they, when they were, what, $7 million under the floor, there was, like, I'm sure the players didn't want them to add anyone because then yeah. they would have all gotten, that's $500,000. That's a playoff bonus.
To play devil's advocate, though, do you think the optics are sort of a sensitive issue in this case? Like, you know, worst record in the league, also not meeting the, you know, the floor. I don't know. Is that something that anyone cares about?
What, do you think the Nets maybe made this deal because it would look bad if they were under the floor? Is that what you're, from that optic sense?
Yeah, I'm just thinking marketing, as ever, you know, and playing devil's advocate, not something I would necessarily align myself with, but just wanted to, you know, shoot it your way, see what you thought.
I love it because that's something Philly would have been criticized for just in the past few years under Hinkie, that they were so under the floor and that agents were mad about that because essentially they're taking money out of the rest of the league's pocket. I don't know if you saw this. Gravis Vasquez, I think, talked to Alex Kennedy from Hoops Hype. Is that who it was? But Gravis Vasquez was like effusive in his praise for the Brooklyn Nets. He loves Kenny Atkinson because Atkinson says, if you ever like want to keep working out with us, do it or something kind of like that. And he just is like, I love the Nets. They're doing things the absolute right way. And I guess that kind of feeds into not wanting to not pay any of your players. But
there is kind of a flood of like positive vibes in general about just like Nets front office in the wake of these deals. That there's a couple of writers that are just like, word around town is that, you know, people love doing business with the Nets at this point.
Well, and then here's I'll bring it up because I love Howard Beck. He's one of the best. Right. He said the best possible. I don't know if I'm able to pull it up. Basically, it was like, it, you know, like how there's a way that people write on Twitter now because we don't have the ability to string together multiple words. So what we do is we just do like one word things like smart, correct,
yep.
way to yep. go. The Nets know yep. how to do it right now. You know, just things like that. Like how, I mean, he didn't say it exactly like that, but essentially, yes, that's what he said. And it's like, yeah. I mean, there's a little love for the Nets, even though, so the most interesting thing is that they, oh, this is it. Sean Marks is making small, comma, subtle, comma, very good moves for Brooklyn. Which is true. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. Wait, can I double back a second real quick?
Double back, please.
Is that all right? I hate to pump the brakes on this thing. I want to get back to Andrew Nicholson and the reason the buzz died. I have a small fascination with this guy.
Yeah.
Partly because he came into the league and shot 80% from the free throw line for 2 years and is now at like 50. That says to me, you know, I read into these percentages, specifically free throw line percentages, as a good metric for confidence levels. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know that's your whole thing. So you're saying his confidence is low?
So what happened? What in God's name did Washington do to this poor guy that his confidence fell off the cliff like that?
And dude, I don't like Ernie Grunfeld, but it's not like Nicholson was a complete bum before he got to Washington. I have to think it's like a partial Scott Brooks thing. Like, he just didn't like him, you know?
So you're comfortable assigning some of the blame to Washington. That's
totally. Oh, yeah. Very comfortable. Feel very good about that. Very safe and secure. Let's do Brooke Lopez right now.
All right.
So we've got some of the Twitter reaction. You know, I asked people on Twitter, tweet us, let us know what you're saying. And one person said essentially, and let me pull up their tweet and give them some credit.
Oh, here, let me give you some. So this is Mike pulling up the tweet.
James, at James K. Kai, my thoughts? ? What? Why TF Lopez still here? Why TF? Are you fine that he's still here?
Unless you were dying for Al Jefferson and Rodney Stuckey in a crummy pick, you know, then then I think you should be pretty happy for his being there. I mean, you know, I hate to, this is a very standard take. This is a medium warm take, and you know I hate a medium warm take.
No, I know,
Mike. But the market was established a little bit with the Boogie Cousins trade for what centers are going for, and you know that's not the market you want to be a part of right at the moment. I think probably, I hate to say it for specifically Glue Guys fans in general. But come draft time, you're going to be hearing a lot more about this.
What about?
And you're going to be hearing a lot more of Mike's harebrained ideas about what to do with Brook Lopez.
Well, okay. So there was a couple different roads that we're traveling down that now Brook has continued to be on the team. Okay.
Oh, that's what you wanted me to say?
Yeah. One road is, okay, the team, there's no reason to tank because there's no benefit of now tanking. So, and Mark's talked about this, that he wants to see what Jeremy Lin and Brook Lopez could do together. So the one road is, all right, we have Jeremy Lin and Brook Lopez. We have our one and our five. We have a couple of draft picks we like. We'll have two more that we hope to like in the first round. And we're going to sign someone big. The Kentavious Caldwell Pope, Otto Porter. We're going to give him a max contract. Okay. So the one road is we're keeping Brook because we think we can be 30 wins next year, and 30 wins is better than 15 wins, and we're just going to continue on that path and move on. And then the other road is that Marks is a person who, this is what you would hope if you're a Nets fan, that Marks is not a just sell dude. There's guys in the NBA, in the league who are just sell dudes, who are just auctioning off parts. I don't think that's good for a franchise because that makes people not want to come to your franchise to play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just being sold off after you sign with them.
There's also, you know, the old argument of stability, you know, just general consistency in just a pure basketball X's and O's way. I hate this. You hear the motorcycle?
Yeah,
in the background?
That sounded great.
If I could, I would personally destroy every single motorcycle. I have no sympathy for these people. Well, like I'm doing a podcast here and I got to listen to your stupid. Anyway, sorry. I'm sorry, Michael. It just really grinds my gears. What was I saying? God damn that microphone.
Stability, awesomeness.
Stability. Anyways, greatness. Yeah. So, but that's like another rote take is that, you know, that outside of just like fostering goodwill or whatever among like prospective free agents, it also helps to win basketball games. Even if you have, you know, recurrent scrubs, those recurrent scrubs will produce more wins over time. I think that's an empirical truth, would you say?
I mean, the only thing I worry about, okay, is that let's say they don't trade him this offseason. There's a possibility that they do, but let's say they don't. And they go through all, he's an expiring contract next season. And
yeah. Let me clarify. I'm not saying Brook Lopez is a scrub because I already feel like Twitter is like about to gear up and assault me.
No. Just bring up Yogi Ferrell and how that was a mistake. gosh, I can't tell you. People.
Yeah.
Anyways, the problem that they're going to run into is the fact that every day that they hold on to Brook Lopez is a day less of value that he is worth. So they're going to get to a point next season where let's say they stink next season as well and they have Brook Lopez. And they may not even be able to get a first-round pick for him at that point. If the center market is so bad. I mean, Nerlens Noel just got basically casted away to Dallas for nothing.
Yeah, but somebody was saying, I'm full of these today. But the old zig when they zag argument of, you see, Memphis has had some success against Golden State, and even Boogie Cousins on his own had some success against Golden State. Are people going to go all in on getting Twin Towers to combat the onslaught of guard-heavy three-shooting teams?
I still think that – so New Orleans is interesting because they have Anthony Davis at the four. Where, again, in the perfect world, he should be a five because he's just an amazing like piece to have. But
I don't know. Should it? He's an easy fit at four. I mean, he's got to be more mobile than Tim Duncan ever was at four.
No, yeah, he's a good fit at four. But I think like if you could put sort of the modern day basketball lineup around a five like Anthony Davis, then there's just opens up so many possibilities. Where so now he's chasing around fours, which he can do. But like if it was anybody but Anthony Davis, basically at that four spot, it's not interesting. Let's say Brook Lopez was put next to, if Brook Lopez was put next to DeMarcus Cousins, that'd be horrible. Because one of those two would be out on the perimeter and just, it would be, they would just be getting, you know, screened.
Well, Brook Lopez, is a very complicated player. I don't know. It's like super unique because he, now that he shoots threes, it's like, he does everything that a modern five does, but he does it really slowly and he doesn't rebound. So it's strange. It's a strange fit for a lot of teams.
He's a five who has no pick and roll game, really.
He does. He picks and pops is mostly it. But he does have like the push shot in the lane that comes with a roll occasionally. But it's primarily like robust post, low post action, and then shooting threes now all of a sudden.
And that's why I was so when we had Bobby Marks on, he predicted that someone would make the move, and I am surprised that no one did, just because he fits so well now. The fact that he can shoot threes is kind of insane, that someone that offensively gifted can then just suddenly start shooting threes. That he could fit on any team. He's not some, like, he's a better, I don't know if this is a fact, but I'll have to look at this, but he's probably a better 3-point shooter than Serge Ibaka at this point. So I just, I'm surprised no one podied up, but like the teams that had multiple first round picks were Boston and Portland. And Portland didn't really seem, I guess, to have that much interest. And Boston obviously is not going to make a move with the Nets. Even though, my perfect world trade would have been the 2018 Nets pick for Brook Lopez.
A name that we haven't talked about yet, and I wanted to gauge the level of sadness that you feel to see Chris McCullough go.
Very sad. Very sad.
Any sadness? I mean, you're a Cuse guy, Mike, through and through. You bleed orange, so feelings.
It was Billy King's guy, right? I mean, I think if Marks drafts him, he's not going anywhere because Marks is wed to that kind of pick, but he can just say goodbye to McCullough. It's weird that the Wizards wanted him in the trade. It's a weird trade overall because it includes Boyan, which is like you would think Boyan for first round pick would work, but then they had to throw Nicholson in there, and then McCullough got thrown in the mix. Where like that's just an odd move for a contender to make, to just have like, oh yeah, give us a stretchy young guy who will never play for you, so he's never going to play for us.
Give me something like a guy whose ceiling is Markieff Morris, who we already have.
Are you surprised that McCullough never really got any opportunity here at all? I mean,
dude, I tell you what, and again, this goes back into my wooden gym style of I'm a gut talent inspector. I don't know. Anyways, the guy's body language is just the worst. And even if you put out the product on the court, which he wasn't doing in like the minute, he got a good amount of minutes last season towards the end and stuff. Like he was playing minutes, and really does not seem engaged in any level, and is also not actually like producing very many, very big numbers. What can you do with that, Mike? What can you do with a guy whose head seems elsewhere?
And someone totally did him a disservice by having him come out. I mean, it's like people can make whatever decision they want, but he's a guy that should have been like getting healthy in college, playing one good season in college.
He should have been jacked by now. He should have been huge. People do not take that long to. I mean, he's 22. You know, you're at the age where you're starting to put on some muscle, and I don't think he was. I also think they put him in the D League, to like showcase him basically, because they knew that he would put up decent numbers there, and instead of getting eaten alive in the NBA.
Let's put a bow on the Nets here, okay, and then we'll look kind of going forward about what this team looks like. But
okay, happy, cool, Mike.
Let's play a game. Happy or not happy? Are you happy or not happy, Brian?
I'm happy. I'm happy. I like, if nothing else, I would prefer to be bad with cool dunks, and KJ McDaniels does that better than Bojan Bogdanović, and there are a couple of other players that are already doing what Bojan Bogdanović, wants to do on the basketball court on this team. So for me, it's a no-brainer in terms of just like on-court product. And then obviously having a pick is always fun at this point because – God knows. Also, I fundamentally do trust Sean Marks to I mean, I haven't gone 2 for 2, it seems like. I mean, Isaiah Whitehead's not like, a game changer by any means, but he's almost assuredly a long-term player in this league and seems to be getting better on a at a pretty quick rate. I don't know. I got to be happy. Are you happy, Mike? You got to be happy.
Yeah, totally happy. I think the Bojan Bogdanović trade, you see that, you get happy. Yeah. The KJ McDaniels
you get happy.
The KJ McDaniels one is like, that's a fun, like, oh, my GM's so smart. Look how great he is. And as I said, like, that there's – I love looking at – this draft is so unique because there's, like, all these great guys at the top, but then there's all these crazy dudes. There's, like, a French dude named Jean Valjean, something crazy who is
–
Jean
Valjean?
He's, like, yeah, Jean Valjean. He's Les-Mizzing it up. he's like, I don't know, 7'8" wingspan, super skinny, can shoot threes. There's a ton of dudes like that, that you have a feeling that Marks is going to go out and, you know, get one of those guys and figure it out. But, I don't know. I think I, this is my almost best case scenario besides you getting two first round picks for Brook, because, you know, if you get two first round picks for Brook from a middle of the road team, I think you go do that. But right below that is getting a first round pick for a guy who wasn't going to be on your team next year in Bojan Bogdanović, and, you know, creating a little bit of hope, a little bit of movement, grabbing a guy like Nicholson who has a shot at, you know, being, you know, a Trevor Booker light type player, not like the way they play, but, you know, just the value he'll present.
A conversation that we always have too, and we'll reprise it again for the millionth time, is, you know, if you trade Brook Lopez and you have four first-round picks and your team's terrible, you do want a good sort of star-ish vet presence to buoy the picks that you have so that you're not just hard abysmal, you know. And that's an important tract to take. So another good reason not to trade Brook Lopez at this juncture. Yeah. True or false?
And exactly. That's 100% true. The Nets are abysmal, but they're delightfully abysmal, right?
Yeah, getting more delightfully abysmal, yes. Slowly but surely.
You want to do news around the league?
You know what? We should do mail first because it'll touch on some other stuff.
Let's do it.
Okay. You just don't hit the mail drop.
Mail time.
but I will, if you can hear it, shout out your boy, Leroy Green. Thanks for hitting us up, Leroy. So he's going, we went happy or not happy, which,
great game.
That's the kind of people that we are. We, that's how we talk to each other. But he goes, so what grade do you give Marks on his first trade deadline? I'm giving him a B+. I actually like Nicholson. I also suspect KJ will be a pleasant surprise. A Lin, KJ, RHJ, Brook lineup will be a defensive force. I don't know about that, but, you know, people like people on Twitter say, Mike, you got to Lin's a lockdown defender, so you got to watch out for that. Michael,
No, he's not. I give Sean Marks a B.
He's pretty good, Mike. You got to give him a little bit more credit than he had been.
I haven't seen him play basketball in a while, so I really don't know, Brian.
Yeah, I love queuing you up for this.
You know who I've seen? Yogi Ferrell on the floor. What the Mavericks did?
Easy, come on.
They're getting rid of Darren Williams so Yogi Ferrell can take over. I just want to say. Yeah. I just want to say for everyone that's like, oh, Yogi, the Mavericks, Rick Carlisle, have you ever heard of him? He seems to trust Yogi Ferrell.
Mm. Okay.
What is that, Brian?
Is that, you hear them, another motorcycle?
Is that what that was?
Must be a gang of them coming up the street now. I love that when they're a bunch of guys get together, like, let's ride our loud dirt bikes together, buddy.
Popping wheelies.
Where do they find each other? Aren't they illegal?
Message boards, Brian. Yeah, they're trying to crack down on
what app are they on?
Yeah, they're still on it.
Chat. I'm giving him a hard. You know, honestly, I have no criticisms of this thing, I don't want to set a standard where, like, you know, if I can't think of a criticism, I'm going to give him less than an A. I mean, what is the downside to any of the action? It's all, you know, it's at the very least lateral, and at the best, you know, you're getting a couple of pieces that are undervalued on their respective teams. And a pick to have fun with, you know. I can't say anything other than A about that. What about you?
The only negative, and this isn't even a short-term thing, a long-term thing, is sort of what I was saying, is that you now have Brook, and you have him on a declining contract, a contract that will extinguish at the end of next year. And if he continues and finishes off that contract with the Nets, probably the team's still not going to be good, and then they have no value anymore. on their one sort of like their one beautiful little chip that they could play. So that's something to watch. I mean, it depends on how much they actually improve this offseason. If they do sign a KCP or an Otto and then grab another player, then maybe that's fine. But if you stick with Brook and that's all you have and then he just goes away, that's a problem.
True. True stuff. Thanks. Are you ready for the next emailer?
Yes.
You got your boy, Stefano DeSantis. Some good names tonight. DeSantis. By the way, he says, P.S., this is for you, Mike. One of your dads works at Loyola Maryland.
Yes.
He's an alum, so that's cool.
Yes, my dad. Yes, thank you.
What does he do there?
He's a career counselor.
Stefano, did anybody counsel you on your career? Maybe it was Mike said it. Anyways, he said, my question for you is the following. Which six members of the current Nets would you want to watch on the Jersey Shore TV show?
Sure.
Also, I'm going to miss thinking about how hair gel would have done Boyan wonders on and off the court of the show. I got to disagree with you there. I think you're going to compound a lot of Boyan's problems with some hair gel.
Because
slick that back.
That gels it together. It sticks it together.
And your pinky ring away from slinging these cigars. So six members. Quick, Mike, off the top of the dome, who you got? Obviously, Brooke. Obviously,
well, it would have been Marcus Thornton if he was still on the team, but he's not on the team anymore.
No, he's. I mean, as fun as his game is,
you would put Brooke on Jersey Shore. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I guess that's not. Well, okay. I've always wondered this. Okay, so let me say something.
Here are the right answers, Brian. You ready for the right answers?
I've always wondered this. Like, what would happen if I'm a pretty Mike. What's going on there? Mike,
it's just my dog. It's just Georgie. It's not coming up on the microphone. I guarantee. Actually, I don't know that. I'm just lying.
I'm hearing it pretty loud and clear. I've always wondered what, like, I like just a totally neutral, not really like expressly extroverted person like I like me would be like on one of these shows, going to these clubs with these people. I wonder how either lame I would seem, or like whether I would be a sort of like Greek chorus for the audience. Like I would sort of.
They need that. Producers need that character. They need a guy on the show or a girl on the show who can be like, what the heck is going on here?
They kind of had that with Vinny on the Jersey Shore. But then again, he was still very much part of that world. So it was a bit of a fudge job. So having said that, I don't know if Brooke is necessarily like, neutral. I know that he's slightly on the introverted side of the spectrum.
All right. Do you want the right answers or are you going to do this?
Yeah, give me the right answers.
Rondae Hollis-Jefferson has to be on there, just, unique, sort of out there doing his thing.
Gets fired up.
Booker's got to be out there. Old vet. He's been through the battles, the wars.
You want the extroverts. That's what you want.
Yeah, and I think he's fine out there. Kind of want Scola out there. International flavor. Someone kind of come with great hair. You can notice him on the beach, ready to go, ready to party.
He looks like an Italian-American, so.
You want Jeremy Lin out there because on all these shows on MTV, there's always the religious one. I mean, we remember the Mormon Real World. The Mormon, what's her name? Julie. My wife's backing me up. Julie. You always want the religious one to sort of be, to counteract the debauchery that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess you go Isaiah Whitehead. You just want the young buck. You just want the young buck out there going crazy, going wild.
Young buck
doing his thing.
Dinwiddie? Sorry, I phased out there. I was reading the next one. You didn't say Dinwiddie, did you?
No, but we do love Dinwiddie's gonna be on the pod
based on his Twitter profile. Come on.
Any Dinwiddie heads out there who know him, give us a shout.
I just want to talk about Dragon Ball, the new Dragon Ball on Adult Swim that's coming out because he's got a Dragon Ball thing on his Twitter. That's why. Anyways, moving on. Next is. This is your cheer boy, Samer Al-Sabag. Here comes an ambulance. What's going on tonight? Wait, my window's open. Hang on. Hang on, Mike.
No, I love it. It's great,
Oh, God, what is going on tonight? Just a circus out there, Michael. Okay, so he says, and now my... edit this. Oh my God. Okay. What's up, guys? My name is Samer. That's S-A-M-E-R. Samer. And I've been listening to your show since I found out about it last year. As a podcast, you guys are entertaining and informative at the same time. Thank you, Samir.
Yeah, but you should have been with us earlier.
Yeah.
No, thank you, Samir.
Oh, and by the way, to the other guy, love you guys. Love everybody that emails. That's netspod@gmail.com. Should probably pepper that in once in a while. What is that?
That was me saying, wow. Look at you just throwing that stuff in there. Good for you, bro.
I'm a little pro now. Anyway, since the deadline is coming and going, we now have two first-round picks and a couple new guys to see how they develop with this coaching staff. My main question is, what do you think our offseason priorities should be? Sign young guys with potential, try to be as competitive as possible so we don't give Boston a good pick. What should we be expecting?
Brian, what should we be expecting? What do you feel?
Gosh, who knows what to expect? I mean, I think we all have a sense of the kind of talent we can lure to this team. I don't know that it moves the needle to the point where, we need to be going all in on being competitive very soon. But, Mike, you know better than I do about what Otto Porter and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope are thinking about coming on the Nets, because you're a little bit more into that world of middling wing players
that are getting offered max contracts. I will say one thing about this is that Marks didn't offer the max to his restricted free agents, right? So there is a possibility that he's not going to go after Otto and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope because those guys are going to get max contracts, most likely. He's maybe looking at guys who are
just bonkers that those two are going to get. I mean, it's really bonkers, Mike.
Dude, Otto Porter, I mean, he's just
having an insane season. Just watching him play, it's really this guy's. It's like
the best three-point shooter in the league, percentage-wise, which doesn't make any sense. He fits everything. The only thing is that, if he suddenly was the guy on the Nets, he would not be good. If the Nets signed him to a max contract and he signed with the team,
yeah, of course,
that's not a good thing.
No, of course,
that's not a good thing for the Nets. So maybe Marks doesn't do that. I think Marks does keep targeting the Tyler Johnsons, the guy who shows flashes for 4 months. And they're like, all right, let's throw something at him that he's not expecting and see if guys matches. I mean, it'll be interesting, but
you know what you do? You just in the off season, you tell Caris LeVert that he's got the keys to this franchise and just see what happens.
Yeah, that'll work.
that's how you run a basketball team, right? That's
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, priorities free agency-wise, there's still not a ton we can do, ultimately, Mike, right? We're still kind of handcuffed to a not-great situation.
Yeah, and that's why they're going to have to go after guys that are, let's say, two below the top tier, the third tier, if you would.
Yeah.
And they're just going to have to overpay for those guys. And you hope that one of those – they got lucky that Portland matched for Allen Crabbe because he's not that good. They could have used Tyler Johnson because he looks to be pretty good. So what's going to happen is that Marks is going to throw out these contracts hoping that these guys are going to play up to that potential, but it's going to be 50-50. So we'll see.
Did you just get a sign on your end too? I feel like we got dual sirens going.
Actually, I did.
Do I need to Google something? Did something happen? Gosh,
what's going
on? I'm worried now.
By the way, can I do a quick international news?
Please.
So I just got an alert from Washington Post. Kim Jong-un's half-brother was killed with a banned chemical weapon. So we know he was killed, right? You remember that?
Yeah,
that
of course.
Story? Malaysian police say that's the source. And that suggests a level of sophistication. Just wanted to update everyone on Kim Jong-un's half-brother's.
We'll be following this story closely as it develops. In the meantime, I want to hear from your boy. Tynan Burgess. Some great names tonight. Tynan, your boy. Thanks for hitting us up. Says Marks said today that he wasn't actively shopping Lopez. Do you believe this or do you think he was but couldn't find a good offer? Oh, this is a nuanced question and asking a lot of our mole that we don't have in the front office.
Or do we? Yogi Ferrell was it. Not that he was, but I think it's so we're debating the phrase actively shopping, right? I mean, we're debating that, and I think that Marks was not actively shopping in terms of my definition of actively shopping, which would be, hey, calling every team, what would you want for Brook Lopez? And then trying to find that. I think he was listening, as another phrase that we hear a lot at this time of the year, but I don't think he was actively shopping. Because it just sounds makes like sense. It makes him desperate.
They wanted to put out in the media, at the very least, that they were very much on the passive end of any deal-making that was going on. They made extra special sure to put that out there on a couple of fronts, right? Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair to say. And also, can I say this? I actually love this All-Star break that they that now they have the trade deadline. They've All-Star game a week off, and then all the week is just trade deadline, because that's all people care about anyways.
I tuned into the All-Star game and I was I watched like it's like 10 minutes of John Legend, and I was like, I can't watch any more of this. I have to turn this off now.
I
have to do something else with my time. This is not constructive.
John Legend's on my S list because he's one of those guys who somehow has figured out to become ubiquitous on All-Star games and Grammys. But like, would you go to one of his concerts? Would you sit through that crap?
No, you couldn't. I mean, I'm trying to think of the number you'd have to pay me. You know, probably is an amazing human and like a, you know.
Sure, great husband.
Philanthropic, you know, beautiful man.
Yeah, totally. But, love him.
But I think it would cost at least $1,000. And I'm not saying that because like I'm not a wealthy man. That's just how little I would care to go to one of these things.
I would need access to the Billboard Lounge.
so you can make a dent in that bottle of Patron finally. Haunting.
I'm still thinking about that one, yeah.
Yeah. Next up, we got Cheerboy. This is Joshua Williams. Now, that's a name I know how to pronounce. love the moves Sean Marks did. I love you, first of all, Joshua Williams, for emailing, and everyone else that emailed before him. I freaking love you guys, man. Anyways, it showed that he has a plan and doesn't do any panic deals. But other than that, do you think we trade both our picks to move higher in the draft this summer? Something that occurred to me, obviously. I'm sure it occurred to you, too. You know, those are the kinds of things that you probably put in some phone calls about, and if you get high enough, you do it, right? I don't know. I mean, like, I'm sure that's on the table.
I just don't think – so I was saying – I think maybe it was Josh who tweeted this at us. This is just like – not every draft is technically top-heavy, right? The talent is always at the top, but, like, there's a certain cutoff at, like, 11 – that after that, then it's sort of a big mystery. So I find it tough to believe that some team's going to say, actually, I want two guys in the later rounds. Like, it doesn't make sense, really, for any team to trade back in the draft for multiple picks.
And they do it. They do it for, like, you know, like you were saying, in the mid-teens, you know. You increase your chances a little bit, but, you know, it's ultimately a wash in, you know, your chances.
I mean, I could actually see Marks considering trading one of his first round picks if there's someone that he like a player he likes in terms of that is in the league right now. Let's say this Pacer situation just completely tanks and he talks to Larry Bird and says, I don't know who it would be, Monte Ellis and Rodney Stuckey. You know, like, I could see Marks doing that, actually, more than being able to trade up, because I just don't think trading up's a possibility.
Yeah.
But that's
great. Yeah, you're probably right. Anyways, that's all the emails for tonight. Thanks, guys. Mike, why don't you run the news?
Hey-o! Mike, I got the Irish music playing on this one for you. I thought you'd like that. So let me introduce you to ABPN's newest sponsor, the Glue Guy's newest sponsor. This is Handy.com and the Handy app. So I think everyone's favorite apps are the ones that actually make your life a lot easier. And Handy most definitely locks that in. So I reached out to them, actually, because I used them not too long ago. I had to move, and I had to get my... So if you're a person like me and you got a bad back and, you know, you got a podcast to attend to, you can't be... you know, bogged down, you know, cleaning your carpets and putting together IKEA furniture and moving your boxes when you move and all that. And it's just a very busy time. So I took out the iPhone, found a 5-star rated pre-approved pro within about a minute. It took me no time at all. Set a time and a date. Guy shows up right on time, fully ready to go. Got all the equipment. I didn't have to sweat any of the little stuff that I hate. So Handy is helping ABPN and the Glue Guys, you know, bring the best pods to the net by sponsoring the network. And they're offering listeners 15% off by using the promo code Almighty15. That's Almighty15. at checkout for their first time using Handy.com or the Handy smartphone app. So make your life easier, and ipso facto, if you can support the podcast, all you got to do is use the promo code Almighty15 at checkout.
All right, news around the league. A couple of things I want to hit on. So obviously, the biggest trades have already happened in terms of DeMarcus and Serge and all those things. So today was sort of a wash. Mostly what we found out about was that the discussions around Paul George and Jimmy Butler, but none of those happened. And as interesting as the trade possibilities were, just didn't happen. A couple of things I want to say. One is this Deron Williams thing, and I got to talk about it. It makes me so mad that
let it out, brother.
Someone who so poisoned this situation in Brooklyn, it will be given a chance to ride the beautiful Santa Claus sleigh that is the Cleveland Cavaliers, and he'll be able to play 18 minutes a game on the floor with either Kyrie or Kevin Love or LeBron, and he's going to probably get a ring, and it's a situation where he doesn't deserve a ring, and it makes me upset, Brian.
Not the first guy to win a ring you didn't deserve, Mike. Come on, you gotta let it go. You can't live your life like this.
And it's this specific person. It's also because there's also some nastiness for, like, why are the Mavs just letting him go? Like, Mark Cuban, it's a weird situation. He's just like, yeah, you can just go, Deron. That's a weird situation.
That's how people feel about Deron Williams, Mike.
Maybe that's a smart thing. They're like, you could just go. Doesn't it bother you in the least bit that he's going to get to go? He's been bought out by the Mavericks.
It doesn't bother me even a little bit, because guess what? I have Yogi Ferrell on my fantasy team, and we're about to make a late playoff run here, and I feel like he's about to blow. Okay?
I hear you.
So that's the silver lining for me. I was stoked to hear it.
All right, that's news around the league.
Okay, that's it. Wow, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, because really, I'll say this, the trade deadline, like, the big stuff happened before the day, and there was rumor of Paul George and Jimmy Butler, but didn't happen.
No, it's good. It's good stuff, man. It's normal. It's like a good 50-minute show. That's perfect. All sweet right. spot.
So thank you for listening. Check out all – if you're a fan of other basketball teams in the Nets, I don't know why you would be, but if you are, check out the Almighty Baller Network. We have tons of podcasts for team-specific pods. And also,
go ahead.
I was going to say Nets Daily. Again, we're on it. And some good stuff is coming out. There's a lot to read about the trade deadline stuff on Nets Daily. So read up, Brian.
Yeah, I'm going to hit the books after this, Mike.
Have a good one, Brian.
Hey, right back at you, Mike. And to the listeners, thanks for hanging out. Catch you next time.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening.